Chapter 4. Three Types of Energy Involved. Telepathic interrelation between the members of a group grows through the medium of a constant attitude of reflective thought and a steadfast love for each other. I would remind you that when I use these terms, I am referring to the two major types of energy in the world today. Essentially, energy is active substance. These two types of force are of a vitality, potency, and substance so subtle and fine that they can work through and force into activity the pranic fluids, which constitute the substance of the etheric body and to which I referred in a much earlier instruction in A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2. The telepathic work, therefore, is concerned with three types of energy which demonstrate as forces with the power to motivate. 1. The force of love, with its negative quality, which a. attracts the needed material with which to clothe the idea, the thought, or concept to be transmitted. It is also the attractive agency utilized by the recipient. Therefore, both transmitter and recipient work with the same energy, but the transmitter uses the love energy of the larger whole, whilst the recipient concentrates upon the transmitter the love energy of his own nature. If this be so, you can see why I emphasize the necessity for love and for non-criticism. B. constitutes the coherent quality which links together the transmitter and the recipient, and which also produces the coherency of that which is transmitted. It will be apparent to you, consequently, that it is only at this time that we can begin to look for a wider and more general expression in the world today of the processes of telepathy, for only today is the love principle really beginning to affect the world on a large scale. Love of a cause, a party, or an idea is becoming more and more prevalent, producing in the initial stages the apparently wide cleavages with which we are so familiar and by which we are so distressed at this time, yet producing finally a dominance of the attitudes of love which will heal breaches and produce synthesis among the peoples. Love, not sentiment, is the clue to successful telepathic work. Therefore, love one another with a fresh enthusiasm and devotion. Seek to express that love in every possible way, upon the physical plane, upon the levels of emotion, and through right thought. Let the love of the soul sweep through all, like a regenerating force. 2. The force of mind. This is the illuminating energy which lights the way of an idea or form to be transmitted and received. Forget not that light is subtle substance. Upon a beam of light can the energy of the mind materialize. This is one of the most important statements made in connection with the science of telepathy. The success of this is dependent upon the alignment of the bodies of the transmitter and the recipient. The double line of contact must be that of mental energy and brain electrical energy. The magnetic power of love to attract attention, to produce alignment, and to call forth rapport and understanding is not all that is necessary in the new telepathy which will distinguish the new age. There must also be mental development and mental control. This form of telepathy is not a function of the animal soul, as in the case of the solar plexus contact, and response to messages by the emotionally polarized man or woman. This telepathic rapport and response is a characteristic of the human soul working from mind to mind and from brain to brain. It is literally a state of consciousness which is sufficiently conditioned by the integrated mental person so that he is aware of and inclusive of the mental state and thought processes of another person. 3. The energy of prana. P-R-A-N-A, or the etheric force of the vital body. This energy, by an act of the will and under the pressure of the magnetic power of love, responds to or is receptive to the dual energies mentioned above. The idea, thought form, or mental impression, which must be recorded in the brain consciousness of the recipient, opens a way in the pranic fluids and so controls their activity, which is as ceaseless as the thought-form-making propensities of the citta, that the brain becomes responsive in two ways, A. It is rendered passive by the impact of the three types of energy blended and fused into one stream of force. B. It becomes actively responsive to the idea, impression, thought form, symbol, words, etc., which are being swept into the area of its conscious activity. Let me attempt to reduce the above information to practical simplicity, thus showing how these three types of energy can be used in practical work. 1. By the use of the energy of love in three ways. A. By sending out love, not sentiment, to your brothers at the time of transmission or reception. B. By capitalizing on the inherent power of love to attract the material or the substance, and thus to clothe, in the occult sense, that which you send out. C. By sending forth the clothed idea, impression, etc., on a stream of love which your brother, alert, receptive, and waiting, will attract to himself by the means of his conscious love for you. 2. By the use of mental energy through the effort to polarize yourself upon the mental levels of consciousness. By a definite act of the will, you lift your consciousness onto the mental plane and hold it there. This action is a reflection upon a lower plane and, in the brain consciousness, of the mind's ability to hold itself in the light. The success of all telepathic work you do, as a group or as individuals, will be dependent upon your capacity to hold yourself steady in the light, mentally. The difference is that this time you do it for the purpose of the planned work and attempt to hold the mind steady in the light of the group or in each other's light, and not so specifically in the light of your own soul. 3. By the conscious organized use of the energy of the etheric ajna center, and sometimes of the head center, when receiving, and of the throat center, when transmitting. This swings etheric force into activity when engaged in telepathic work, but entails its conscious subordination to the power of the other two energies. Practically, you will observe that this involves, on the part of the disciple, the power to do three things at once. You need to ponder more deeply upon the fact and necessity of active outgoing energy when you are occupied with the task of transmission, and with active receptivity when you are functioning as a receiver. I would like to point out that successful telepathic work is dependent upon the following factors. First, that there are no barriers existing between the receiver and the broadcaster. Such barriers would be lack of love or of sympathy, criticism, and suspicion. Secondly, that the broadcaster is mainly occupied with the clarity of his symbol, with the word or thought, and not with the receiver. A quick glance toward the receiver, a momentary sending forth of love and understanding, is sufficient to set up the rapport, and then attention must be paid to the clarity of the symbol. Thirdly, let the receivers think with love and affection of the broadcaster for a minute or two, then let them forget the personality. A thread of energy linking receiver and broadcaster has been established and exists. Then forget it. Fourthly, let the receivers work with detachment. Most receivers are so anxious to receive correctly that through their very intensity, they counteract their own efforts. A casual and don't care spirit and a close attentiveness to the inner picturing faculty will net better results than any violent and strong desire and effort to see the symbol and to contact the mind of the sender. The brain should register a reflection of the mind content. If a ray of light is met by an outgoing force from the receiver's mind or a powerfully emitted thought form, it can be prevented from reaching the mind. However, a transmitter with more expert training can overcome this barrier. Much of the trouble will be found to be based on the emitted thought forms or in the rush of ill-regulated mental energy or brain radiation which negates efforts. Therefore, a quiet spirit and well-regulated thoughts will aid much, and the cultivation of that dispassion which desires nothing for the separated self and nothing violently. The need of sensitive receivers is great. Train yourselves. Forget yourselves and your own petty little affairs, so petty and unimportant when viewed in relation to the momentous issues of the present time. Keep an attentive ear to the voices which issue forth from the world of spiritual being, and love each other with loyalty and steadfastness.